Hi, this is Chiezan, the prior at Sokokoji Buddhist Monastery. Sokozan offers these talks without expecting anything in return. If you value these talks and would like them to continue, please visit our donate page at www.sokokoji.org. Thank you.
This evening's Dharma talk is titled, Don't Let Go, which is a talk I've given a few times. I think it's maybe number two or three. Doesn't matter. An important topic from my understanding. It's an important one. So before I go into that topic, I'd like to thank everyone for coming. Thank everyone for their participation, either in person or on Zoom, and also for those who help us financially to stay afloat. Please continue to help us if you can. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. So the Dharma talk title, Don't Let Go, is meant to address the tendency of maybe not all of us, but some of us to try to stop something, stop doing something, stop grasping at something. The idea of trying to manipulate ourselves in one way or another based on our preconceptions, and which, of course, the big preconception is that you are someone. You are a singularity called me and my stuff, my ideas, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, and all of that business. So when I say don't let go, what I am saying at the same time is just observe how you hold on. Because if you try to endeavor to let go without being very, very aware of the way in which you are attached, the way in which you are clinging, the way in which you passion, aggression, and ignorance enter into that that strategy of ego to continue to remain to be an independent person by succeeding at letting go, or for that matter, failing at letting go, which might also support the self-centeredness. Success and failure, not separate. Sure look like it. And we add on thoughts, story after story after story about our failures, story after story about our successes. You may operate in the pride area. You may operate in the shame area. You may go back and forth between them. Success, failure. I'll never get this. Or I think I'm getting this. I've had people come in and actually tell me, I think I got this. And I say, okay, got it. I don't disagree with them, but quite often I won't see them again. Does that mean they're off having gotten this? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not interested in that. They can do whatever they want with their life. So if you let go, the idea here is if you have some success in that area, the difficulty, it's not that you haven't released something or dropped something a little bit, dropped your attention to it, but the issue that comes up is it happens quite often in the conceptual area. You're not really seeing the clinging itself. You're seeing your idea about the clinging, and you try to drop the idea about the clinging, which is actually doable. But the actual attachment or clinging or fixation cannot be dropped by by someone who is doing that. Or if you think otherwise, then please continue to practice. Look at your own situation. Maybe you don't need a teacher to tell you anything. It's up to you. I think if you're here, probably you're at least interested in this. I don't see any totally new people here. So you've been coming for a while. This doesn't mean that we don't really observe and see the way we have a clenched fist around a particular thing. Quite often, the very clenched part of it is what we need to look at. Probably is that's what we need to look at rather than trying to artificially let go or stop doing that. Or there's a lot more than when you're attached to something. There's not a lot more than just this. There's this and there's this. There's this. There's this. There's lots of different areas that the attachment or the fixation is operating in. And some are, you could say, conceptual, emotional, fear-based, hope-based. Very, very complicated. I could also say, don't hang on. But I say, don't let go. And that might bring your awareness to a dynamic that's happening in your consciousness relative to any number of things. Passion, aggression, ignorance, jealousy, envy, and so on. This kind of teaching, this way of teaching, is not going to work very well for anyone unless there's a lot of awareness practice, a lot of sitting practice, so that you're actually watching the comings and goings of the apparent self-centeredness, the apparent ego, the one who thinks there is something, the one who thinks there is an other that needs to be stopped, an other that needs to be grasped, or an other that needs to be just forgotten about or dismissed. Not a problem. Not worried about that. Distraction. And so obviously, maybe not so obviously, but what is being taught here is awareness, not getting somewhere, not controlling anything, not ignoring anything. Just observe, just be aware of what this is. If you get into deep levels of this, and I use the word levels, not that there are levels, but sometimes it appears that way. You may have the feeling that you are progressing in some way. Or you may have the feeling that you're not doing so well. You need a special practice. You need something else that you can do to work with this. And perhaps you do. I have some questions, or I can keep rambling along. Really? No questions about this? Really? Go ahead. Mozuku.
Mozuku Bowing. Should there be an intention to let go?
There could be, but the intention that I would recommend is to see what is hanging on, see who hangs on, see what is being that which you are clinging to. See that the actual identity of what you're clinging to, and also who is clinging. It's about awareness rather than just, I'm hanging on to that, I just need to stop doing that. Continual lecture that happens every few days when you notice how much you're attached to something. And then we're able to distract. You're not really aware that you're distracting yourself from that or ignoring it, but then it comes back around, as they say, full circle, because passion, aggression, and ignorance operate that way. There's clinging, and then there's ignoring. Or possibly there's clinging, and there's real irritation and aggravation and being mad at yourself about the clinging. And then just head moves this way, your arms move this way, and then you're distracted by the color blue reflecting off from the toaster because it's a curtain in the background. You see that. And that isn't it so much, but that including that causes the whole consciousness to start to include. And so to start to include, you end up including the whole room. You will not be aware that you're doing that because there isn't any. But awareness is doing that. You've actually stepped out of the self-centeredness for a moment. It's called ignorance. And as soon as you ignore that, then that puts it in that cycle that comes back around. The next thing you know, you're attaching to something again. You're clinging again. And then you're getting mad at being because you're clinging to something. So passion, aggression, ignorance. I'm just telling a story about it based on what I have to look at. More?
Mozuku Bowing. Is there a stepping out of self-centeredness that is not ignorance?
Any stepping out of something is more confusion. Go ahead.
Mozuku Bowing. If we see it clearly, will letting go just happen on its own?
Yes. To address the way you've asked the question, yes. Just see it. Be responsible for what happens in your mind stream. That responsibility is not about a self. It's not about an ego. It's about consciousness. Whatever shows up in the mind stream needs to be there. Be respectful to the confusion. Because if you fight with it or come up with some kind of scheme where you can kind of trick yourself into being not so confused or not so clingy or not so fixated, it's not that that won't work for a while. This is why there's so many different ways of working with this that you could say are temporary. The fundamental, go ahead, you.
Mizuka bowing, our passion and aggression fundamentally forms of ignorance.
Yeah, just ignorance on the move. Just a way of talking about it. It's talked about that way so that we can get a feeling for when that shows up in the mind. We're shutting down on something. We're clinging to something. We're fighting with something. Those are more obvious, but there's quite a mixture going on. More? Anyone on Zoom? Doesn't seem to be anyone in here in the Zendo that has a question.
Navid, tell me.
Navid, go ahead. Thank you.
Is there a need to let go of what we're clinging to?
No.
Bowing.
That's exactly what I'm addressing. You can do that, and there will be a space. You can do some of that, and you might have some success there. But if the fundamental situation is still active, which it will be, which is belief in a self, belief in an other, that polarity is still there, then you might be free of that situation for weeks, maybe months. You could possibly be free of that for the rest of your life. That is a possibility. It depends on the whole dynamic around that. But it's been covered up. You have to see it so totally and thoroughly that you are complete. From the point of view of self-centeredness or ego, you are a complete loser. You have lost. If you think you're going to get some kind of a gold star for attaining realization, seeing that there's no self and no other, the very nature of seeing this is, from the relative point of view, is failure. Good question. Further, if you have it, Navid.
Navid, tell me. There is an idea of having no desire to attain enlightenment. So what should we do with that? Is that a right idea of having no desire for
enlightenment? Do you have a teacher?
It's you.
It's me? Okay, well, listen to me. Keep sitting no matter what. The desire, the lack of a desire to attain enlightenment. You stepped on this path, anything can show up. Don't step off the path. Don't do anything with it other than receive. More?
Not right now.
Hondo.
Hondo Bang. What is important to see that we cannot do this? Bang.
Why is that important? Because that addresses the fundamental belief that we are a separate being, that this body-mind complex is somebody who's succeeding, somebody who's not doing so well, somebody we have this constant story about ourselves. And it's not that that story needs to go away. Just see that it's unreal. If you see that it's unreal, you still may be irritated every day about something. The fundamental understanding is no self in the skandhas, no solid being there, and no self anywhere, no solid center anywhere. More.
We have to fail in order to, are you saying that we have to fail in order to see that there's no solid self?
That would be my way of talking about it. I'm not saying it couldn't be described in a way that wouldn't be quite so negative. Probably could. Not the way it looks here. It's a spiritual path. It's not the mundane path of relative success. Relative success can be accomplished. You can get, you can go a different direction. You can leave this person, as some people have. Go another way. You'll get my blessing if you need such a thing. I will wish you well. But that just doesn't mean I agree with you. What I'm saying is, if you listen to what I'm saying, look right at the negativity without accepting it, rejecting it, or doing away with it. So you can see that not only is that unreal, but that which is observing that is unreal. The duality part of that is unreal. It's insubstantial altogether, all the way around, completely. And yet it's still there. because it is what? It's an illusion. Everywhere you look, you see the unreality of this world, of, in our case, the human realm. That it's unreal. It's there, but it's unreal. It's coming apart. Yes.
Devon, how important is it to see, to fail, to see that we cannot do this in order to see that this is unreal?
So it's a way of talking about it. And I think I wouldn't step too far into anyone's territory and say how this is going to show up for you. But some area may relate to that or have that kind of echo of that failure situation. Like Trungpa Rinpoche said, march directly into disappointment. So the disappointment is the case. And he was saying this in the 70s. It's just another way of saying life is suffering. It's not nihilism. Nihilism is the one that covers up the truth, the fundamental truth, with some kind of eternalism or some kind of promised land. More. Say more. Ask more if you have it.
True bowing. If we have a tendency or we notice an action that seems to be harmful to others that we do.
Yes.
It seems tempting to try to adjust that so we're not harming others. How do we work with not letting go of that?
Okay, so this is a relative, sometimes called relative bodhicitta. Look at the absolute and relative bodhicitta. Study those either in the Matisse's 7 points of mind training or other places that it's taught. Trungpa Rinpoche has lots of material on that. And I've talked about it occasionally, absolute and relative, Sambhriti Satya, Paramartha Satya, Kunzo, and Dundum. I think it's the Sanskrit. I can't remember. You know? So you can work with it relative. It's the trying to use that to create some kind of result rather than be a benefit to others. In other words, back off a little bit from some activity that you may be doing to others that is causing them more difficulty. So a little bit of that would be workable. But it needs to be together with a lot of sitting meditation. Because otherwise, you'll start to get credit for being such a wonderful bodhisattva. And you find out that you're doing that so you can feel better about yourself rather than you can fundamentally help someone else by not stepping into their territory, meddling with them in any way. It's extremely hard to do. Did I get close to what you're inquiring about? So I would also say, as Suzuki once said, not always so. You can't find anything. It's always the case. So you could use what I'm saying here, don't let go. But that's not always true. There might be a time when you actually need to do it. But it's, as I've said many times, it's situational. When you're in the situation, you're just receiving the situation, you might find that you need to actually take that approach. You need to just let go of something. But it needs to be the situation that's showing you that, which you are slowly training your mind to do by observing a wall, by watching the wall and watching your own mind stream concoct this story after that story after that story without interfering, without correcting, without shutting down. Just receive, receive, receive. Difficult more?
Didn't you go in a different direction? How does movement support or fuel the illusion of a self?
Are you referring to when I say watch what moves in the mind stream? It just covers it up. It makes it more solid, more believable, whatever's happening. If it's moving from this way, it's transitioning from this to that. Just that movement is, you could say, it kind of hypnotizes the self-centeredness into thinking something's actually happening. I'm moving. If you're doing sitting meditation and you continually scratch your ear or something or shift this way and that way, which I do a lot of, by the way, this may be obvious if you watch me at all, move around a lot. That actually interrupts the stillness with some kind of movement. Seems to be necessary to sit very, very still, be very, very quiet, but actually watch the movement and the noise of the mind stream. Watch that movement continue to happen so that you can get, so there's a possibility you would see that there's no one, that the consciousness is, there's no identity there seeing it. There's consciousness is doing it, but it's not a solid identity that is attached or has as a credential this body. As Dogen said years ago, drop off body and mind. He didn't mean get rid of it. Just means look at the attachment there. Look at the attachment to our mind, our thoughts, our ideas, our opinions, our judgments. Just observe those and look at our attachment to our body as being somebody going somewhere, somebody feeling good, somebody not feeling so good. Yeah. Andy
Bowden, what's the difference between seeing how we think we're letting go and or trying to not let go versus how seeing it on a non-thinking level?
So no particular dynamic happening there other than being aware of what's happening. That puts us into a situation where the polarization hasn't got us by the throat. In other words, scaring us into grasping or scaring us into trying to let go of some kind of hope and fear. This word that has sometimes been used, just bear attention. You're just watching the movement. It's not like you're half asleep watching it, that you don't know what's happening. You know what's happening. You know that the red thing moved over to the left side where all the green things were. You really are very aware of what's happening. It's just that you don't impute or deposit any kind of story on top of anything. You just watch the movement. It is a process that happens to meditators where you're slowly, over time, depersonalizing the phenomenon. Whatever rises in consciousness, it might still carry a big load of emotions with it, but by looking at it without pushing aggression, by looking at it without grasping or explaining or delineating or analyzing any of that, and by looking at it without turning away or distracting yourself into something, just receive that. That's when it becomes a fancy traditional way of saying it's mirror-like. It starts to reflect back that which is looking at it. So the consciousness actually is starting to return to what it actually is, consciousness only, without a mirror and without an other. And this is your conceptual ways. I'm using language to talk about something I'm looking at. And what I'm looking at is not a conclusion. I haven't concluded anything. It's fresh all the time. As long as there's a living being, blood pumping here and here, then these eyes are still receiving, these ears still receiving, but it is not something else. It's just this, and it's not separate from me, from you, from consciousness only, more.
Any bowing, has the thought process gone out of it at that point?
Perhaps. It will slow down and just be just more things arising in consciousness that won't necessarily have any need to be pushed down or any need to fluffed up or to be ignored. So the thoughts may still be tumbling along. Good question. But that's what we look for quite often is, well, if I'm doing better, then won't my negative thoughts or my negative emotions subside? Maybe they could. But it is more likely that if you're practicing in the way that I'm recommending, is that the belief in a solid self will start to come apart. And your idea of your construct of you that you possibly are reinforcing with your stories about yourself, your stories about your relationship to that person or this person, or how you don't really like this person, or what's happening in the book study when you're talking to somebody, 3 or 4 people, 5 people, 10 people, all studying the same material, and this one person really irritates you. Please just look at that. Don't necessarily look at the irritation for a reason to leave the book study and study with someone else. Why would you leave the Dharma when it's staring you right in the face? What is the Dharma? Life is suffering. And you're getting, it's being dished up right to you by what? Other people who are studying this incredible teaching that goes back to the 2,500 years to the time of the Buddha himself. Receive, receive, receive. Everything that shows up is teaching. If you're a student, and everything you see is not separate from the awakened one. If you're a student, that doesn't mean you look at everybody and they all look like a bald-headed old man. More? Choose on.
Choose on. Why don't I have control to actually let go?
Well, there isn't anyone. You can do it partially. You can let go. You can leave the state. You can change your mind in some ways. You have some say-so about the mind, but you don't have any fundamental say-so because you didn't even decide to come here. Although there are people that teach this differently. So I'm saying that you just show up and you're given a name and you're trained from the time you're a child to do this, don't do that. Don't hit your brother or get away from your brother so he doesn't hit you. Could be any number of things that create the illusion that we are somebody going to. And so coming back to your question, what is it? Again.
Jesus, can I rephrase it?
You certainly can. Please do.
What is the nature of that fundamental attachment that's different from the idea that I can detach from?
Yeah, they're both the same. The idea that you can attach or the fundamental attachment itself. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, same thing. They're just showing up differently. It's still samsara, which depends on the illusion of something else. Something you're attached to. When you attach, you're attached to something that's unreal. It's like attachment attaching to itself. Creates an incredible illusion. Not to, this teaching was around, as I've talked about recently, I think in the book study or someplace, because I've been looking into it myself. This teaching was around hundreds of years before the Buddha showed up in the Indian Advaita tradition. So it's not new. Probably goes back even further than that. Beings have been born that are able to see through whatever that the separation that is assumed by this and this separation that's happening across the table or across the campfire. Not two. Nor are we all one. That's quite often people who study this Advaita or non-dual teachings start concluding that we're all one. Also misunderstand. I'm sure it's said with good intention, but it's not particularly helpful. No position. No position, which is also a position.
Jeez, in mind. I think you said that we can get rid of the idea of the attachment, but not the attachment itself.
Sort of. It's like you can feel like you've detached from something. You're not no longer attached. And that may go on for quite a while until some kind of hidden weather, some kind of hidden lightning bolt comes down that you have no say-so over. And you don't even have the illusion of the say-so. Comes down, strikes you, and suddenly you're right back in the same whirlpool or whirlwind that you thought you got out of. Because you bought into relative truth and had relative structures that protected you for a while, 3 weeks, 8 weeks. But as soon as the natal whatever hits, or the transiting this hits the natal whatever, suddenly you're in another cycle. That's just a way of describing cycles. It goes around. You have to see the cycles. All you have to do is see them. If you see them, then consciousness is liberated. But you have to see them, and there can be no mistake about it.
Jeez, so what's different about that fundamental attachment that we can't even cover it up or push it away?
The attachment to a self?
If that's what it is.
No, there's this attachment to a self and attachment of another. Empty of self is the teaching and empty of other. Empty of other is the teaching that we're using in this particular way of talking about, that there isn't any other. What was the question?
Choose and bind. What's different about the fundamental attachment that we can't get rid of it in the way that we can get rid of the appearance of it?
Because it's because it is fundamental, whereas the appearance of it has a relative structure that looks like we're getting away, looks like we're improving. Like if you meditate a lot, the initial meditation, and all of you have been meditating for a few years might recognize this, is that you're starting to get more relaxed. You're starting to get less warlike. You're starting to do this and this and this. But that doesn't mean that some kind of area, that's just creating an open area. So the fundamental bullshit you're buying into can be dealt with directly. This is how people keep, new meditators, myself included, first 2 years, try to convince other people to meditate until you realize what you've gotten yourself into. And then you stop telling other people to meditate because you know that when they start having trouble, they're going to come to you. And unless you're a teacher, you don't want them coming to you because you don't know what the hell to do with your suffering. Follow me? Unless you've understood here, unless this person has completely understood, has no doubts. If you have doubts, there's work to do. When I say work, I just mean mind training. return to the same rock, the same wall, the same tree stump. Return to that. Don't maintain anything. Just return. See what this is.
Combine.
Go ahead, you.
I think you said before, don't let go. Actually, there's nothing to let go, if I can recall that correctly. I'm wondering if that is correct. Letting go and not letting go, are they paths? Just the past to just continue, Bali?
So one person letting go and another person not letting go. There's so much, the chemistry in there is so complicated. So to just say that very simply, it sounds like we would all be talking about the same thing. So my way of talking about it to you today anyway is don't let go. Just watch how you hang on. I'm also saying don't hang on. Don't do anything with it. Don't let go of it. Don't hang on to it. Just observe whatever it is. And then it will show you in its own, it will show its own way of gripping onto something so that you don't miss it. And by watching that, looking at that, observing it with no agenda about it. Now, that doesn't mean an agenda wouldn't come up that says, I need to let go of this. You might be chattering at yourself all along, trying to let go of something that is distressing you or in your life or your fellow human beings. It's the polarity part that makes it so difficult for us. We think there's a right and a wrong, and it should be and it shouldn't be, just like we believe in life and death as being two different things. Look closely.
So regarding physical, for example, physical difficulty or physical discomfort, I feel like there's some energy need to be released or tension. How does that, is letting go, is that part of what are you talking about also? Fine.
Say more about what you're saying. You feel there's something needs to be done there?
Yes. For example, I noticed certain parts, you know, of my body has the tension. I have the idea to heal that part. Could it be some energy or blockage? So in that way, I sort of have the feeling of some energy is moving or some tension is released.
Okay, what's the question?
My question is that a physical letting go is wrong on
no.
this path?
No. No, it's not. No, you should trust yourself. That's why there's no standard. I can't give a standard. The only standard I can give to any of you is observe. See what this is. Use your awareness as much as you can so that you can see what this is. And what you will likely see is that you can't really understand it in the relative way. But if you switch into the thinking process, the analytical process, then you have all kinds of equipment there to push, pull, shut down, open up. And do everything but levitate. So I'm saying in your situation, the way you're asking the question, I would say continue to do that. That will find its own equilibrium, its own balance. But the most important thing I can tell you is try to sit still a lot, train your mind, hold still, meditate, sit down, hold still, watch the movement of the mind so that when you watch the movement in your everyday environment, there's a lot of awareness around what is happening rather than a lot of judgment or accusations or blaming happening there, either towards yourself or towards others. No one is fundamentally to blame for anything.
Thank you, Baoying. I also have another question about intention.
Okay.
Follow up what Jingqi asked about, I think, I can't remember exactly what she asked, but my follow-up question is, if I have a good intention, however, maybe I have a tendency to help or interfere with the person's karma, not really for my own credit. It's just the intention is good for that person instead of thinking that person's need more towards myself, but not really for credit. I'm just wondering, is that a thing that I need to continue to do, just have the good intention for, especially for young children, Baoying?
Yes. You should.
Yihong Baoying, how about adults if they ask?
Just more children.
Yoko Baoying, a question on YouTube from Thomas in the UK.
Yes, Thomas.
How do I receive very delusional people without anger?
You might have the anger. You could limit your contact with them if that's possible, but don't eliminate it altogether. It depends on how close they are. If it's family members, it might be more difficult. But it's very situational. Keep it to a minimum. But when you are around them, if you can, don't particularly get angry with them. Be responsible for the emotions of anger if you can. Actually feel the anger. If it looks like you're going to start outflowing onto them with a baseball bat or something, or just a finger pointing or something like that, if you can, just remove yourself from it. Don't go to war with them. They're probably doing the delusional thing is the way people deal with their own discomfort is to blame others or they thrash around so much. And they make other people uncomfortable, and that way they can avoid their own suffering temporarily. This eventually will come back. Anyone who's creating wars or fighting with other people, it's a big picture. It's not just a few thousand years. It's bigger than that. It's enormous. And so, is it Thomas?
Yes.
So less is better. Don't stop interacting, but when you do interact, just a little bit, just touch in there. And you can just be direct, be direct with them and say, I'm trying to follow what you're saying or what you're doing. So I give them a little bit of credit for doing something at all, but then leave and say, I don't want to work with your energy right now. Be polite if you can. You might have to storm out of there. I don't know what it's like to be you or to be dealing with the kind of negativity you're talking about. It's very difficult for people, which I've gone into prison. Several of us here have gone into prisons, and the people who are trapped in a prison, they don't have that choice. They have people right in their face all the time, getting rid of their suffering by threatening other inmates. Very difficult for some people to just live a sane, uplifted life in there. It can't be done in the hell realm that I know of, even though we go in there to try to help sometimes. Yes.
Yoko Baoying, a question from Martin in Latvia.
Martin.
Is realization like seeing your mundane self from non-self point of view?
Non-self is not a point of view. I mean, there's a body here, but there's no particular point of view. There's a point of view in that your eyes are here and your ears are here, but there's no one home. It's just consciousness only, and it's not limited. It has no location. So I see what you're getting at, and I wouldn't go away from that completely. But to go into that is a conclusion. So I would say you don't need the conclusion. You can just be consciousness only. Your identity can just drop away. Your personal identity can just implode or disintegrate, or as Cohen said when he translated the Heart Sutra, falling apart, falling apart, falling apart, nothing to do, everything all at once. And just in a few words, he obliterated the self-centeredness, and he obliterated the conclusion that there is a past and a future, because there is not, there is just this, and it is completely vivid and empty. Jen Ziegler.
Jen bowing. Is it more useful to try to see the process of grasping than seeing how we are already locked in, if it's possible?
I think the way I'm understanding what you're saying, I would say a little bit of that. You could go to both of them. You could go back and forth. You could just watch whatever shows up, and the process part might show up a little bit, the way in which we go into create a story around something to solidify it and make and reinforce our fear or our hope or our anger or our pride or any of that. So we could watch that a little bit, but not to go in and deliberately try to create investigation of processes. There are people who are doing that, and they can go ahead and do that. This is something that the spontaneous realizer Byron Katie did when she had her realization, which was not did not come out of a sitting practice, just out of dependent origination. That particular being awoke the way it looks to me. I never met her, but then backed up into that and tried to figure out a way to kind of logically talk you out of your self-centeredness, which was to ask four questions and turn it around. And it's successful to an extent. Some people that are really ready for that kind of a process. But you'll find if you study any of that, that she's actually recommending that people meditate too, because without some kind of strong awareness practice, the thinking process will begin to think it succeeds. Thinking of success is not success. And don't misunderstand. I'm not saying if you're doing the work and that's helpful to you, by all means, it's a very good practice. And they're pretty wonderful people that are involved in teaching that. But they may not be meditators. Further question?
Tishin bowing. So since you mentioned Byron Katie, I'm sometimes using when there is a thought which is extremely disturbing and it's attaching to me and it's very difficult to deal with it. Sometimes the question which Byron Katie recommends, is it truth? And it allows me, it helps me to create a distance to it. Do you think that it may be helpful sometimes to question the crazy thoughts which are coming?
Yes. Question everything, especially when it's really intense. Question it. So very good. Is it true? How do you know that it's true? What would I be without that thought? I think as it goes on, her particular instructions. And just turn it all around on its spot, on its on the point in which you're inquiring. Pretty strong practice.
Darling.
Seems to. As long as you think there's someone who is having a particular feeling or thought or idea. The thoughts and the ideas and the feelings are fine. They're going to arise in the consciousness. And if there's a human form here, then there's going to be a consciousness. But if those thoughts and emotions and feelings arise and cannot find an identity, then they are what's been talked about in the Tibetan tradition and other traditions too, is self-liberated. They come up and they're sharp and they're pointed and they don't feel so good. They may even stink, but they just don't last. They just come apart. And the consciousness observes that. And if it's not observing that, it's probably trying to stop it, or it's trying to blame somebody else for it, or it's trying to shut down, to block it off with anything from drugs to activity to anything but feel this. Whereas one who is awake feels everything.
Does Senshi bowing. I have trouble tracking the mechanics of my clinging to whatever.
That's awareness.
Is it a problem, though?
No. We've talked about this before. No, it's not a problem. Did I pronounce that word correctly? Did I say problem or problem? What is it you want to know? There's something you want to know?
I think I'm wanting to know if what I'm doing is enough.
It is. You're here. You're a fully ordained monk. You're a therapist. You work with your mind and you work with other people's minds all day long, every day. That's enough. Just don't stop. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Sit as much as you can. Sit as much as Rumi will let you. Or Chiazon. I think he's with Rumi right now and you're here. So that's something pretty good. More? Question? Thank you. Further question? I have a watch. Oh, yes, I do. Is there, should we close or is there further questions? I'd be happy to just close and go another direction if you have no questions. People are dropping off here. I can see we had quite a few more people and they're all going other directions. So maybe you'd like to end. Yes. You have a question? No. Okay. Anyone?
Yuhong Baoying, I'm also, from what you said to my question, I'm still not that clear. So just based on today's topic, letting go or don't let go. And you also mentioned situation is the best teacher. So how can I not be fixated on either of the idea? Just aware, fine.
Yes. Just aware, sit a lot so that the consciousness and the thought patterns and ideas and emotions that are rising in the consciousness, that there's going to be a lot more space around those thoughts. You could call it consciousness. I wouldn't call it anything in particular, but I just call it space so that there's more spaciousness. The ego will not like that. The self-centeredness does not want to not know. And the ego mind will try to grasp at anything, an emotion, a feeling, so that we can be right and so that we can hold court and we can accuse, maybe even accuse towards ourselves, but accuse something, blame anything, but to just be in the midst of the confusion, which is what you're describing. And I'm saying that's how it's done. Don't stay there. Don't maintain it, but don't necessarily try to run away or escape it. Just receive it. Whatever shows up, you hung. Whatever shows up, that's it. Whatever shows up. I'll say it again. Whatever shows up in your mind, in the mind of a meditator, whatever is showing up needs to be received, not judged, not evaluated. Put no condiments on it. Just receive it. Receive it just like it is. Just receive it. Just like breathing in air. Just receive it. Receive this incredible world without fighting with everything, missing your life. Won't miss your life because you're going to be back again for another tour of duty here in this six rounds, more than likely. There's no condemnation or prediction going on, but that's how it looks. See the circles. Yes, sir.
What attaches to a self?
What attaches to it? The illusion that there is something to be attached to. Consciousness attaches to an identity and becomes an identity and then attaches to other things to reify that which is attaching. It creates that whole matrix of other, other, other. So we fight with some other and others we really want. And others we want to make love to. And then other others we want to get rid of them, get out of there, get away from them. I don't like them. They smell bad or they act bad or they But almost everything that's happening there is a projection that you're projecting onto them. Whether it's grasping in love or desire, or whether it's something you want to own or something you want to accomplish or do. All the polarities. Just the second noble truth, desire. The cause of the first noble truth is suffering or discontent or difficulty, is we want something else. And the way we work with that, according to the Buddha, is to train our minds to see clearly, so we are no longer deluded by the illusion of duality, that we actually see that everywhere we look, this is you, this is you. I'm looking at myself. Everywhere I look, I see myself. I'm not saying I don't also see Yuzan or Andy or Sentio. Of course I do. But that's an illusion. What I'm actually looking at is not an illusion. What is it? Not separate. I can't say it more simply. You can't see anything else. All you see is your own self, your own heartbeat everywhere. It's not even a heartbeat. That's kind of a romantic idea. You see it. No longer, no more war with anything. No more peace with anything. There isn't anything else. Michelle
Vine, where is that warfare?
Where is it? Well, it has temporary locations everywhere. It's located here. Mad, upset with him, what he said or did, or about her. But she's going to have to stop doing that, or I'm going to have to do this or that. So it's in the consciousness that is assuming there is a self and an other, that there is the simple self and other is I'm here and other people, but then an even more simple I and other situation is the one that Shodo, who's in, the third day of a 30-day solitary retreat, which everybody is encouraged to do. You can't, we have the time. He's in solitary retreat this is his second one, I think, maybe third. I don't know how many retreats he's done, but he's in there. And the only other he has is his own thought patterns, his self, who he is, who he thinks he is, and who he thinks everything else is, the birds, the trees, the sun, the stars, the clouds, and the noise from the traffic going down M78. More?
There's something else that I want to know. I'm not satisfied with that answer.
Go ahead.
I mean, I feel a warfare or, you know, at odds with something or wanting to push something away. But is consciousness at war?
The consciousness that is twisted up into a ball of love and hate, grasping and rejection and ignorance, passion, aggression, ignorance, and using the body. This body was born, and these bodies have been showing up time after time after time, but billions of them, just on this ball of dirt. Who knows? You look into the sky, who knows how many lives are showing up and dying. Just let me finish with Michelle first. More about that? Go right to the question. What is it you want to know? What would you like that I could respond to? Keep it very simple. What do you want to know? And I will be as direct as I can. I won't even have to think about it.
I'm not sure what I want to know.
That's a good response. Don't ever fill that in with knowledge. Don't substitute anything for the fundamental truth. You say, I'm not sure what I want to know. Don't settle for anything. Don't settle for my words, for anyone's words. My words are here to encourage you to see this yourself, not to believe what I say. I don't need any reference point from anything. There isn't really anyone here at this point. There's consciousness here, but there's consciousness everywhere. It's just the consciousness is here, here, there, there, there. Is probably, otherwise you wouldn't be here, is probably an identity with a body-mind complex. That's not happening over here. That doesn't mean that I don't get a headache. Doesn't mean that my arthritis isn't bothersome. But it's not happening to an individual. Well, that I don't know. That's wisdom. Just don't put anything in there. Stay open. And when I say stay, I don't mean maintain. I'm saying return to that openness. Return to I don't know. Good luck.
Jesus, right? Does the concept of a self solidify consciousness?
The idea of being a person that we get from our personality and our abilities and our handicaps and our description of how we look in the mirror and what other people relating to us as we're somebody, we're someone's brother, sister, or father, mother, all of that, all those dynamics reinforce the illusion that there is some solid being. But the strongest one is just hands and arms. Everything we see, it looks like there's someone here. And this is why I say, go look in the mirror. Look, spend 10 or 15 minutes or more looking in there and say, who is this? Who am I? What is it? And who is it that I'm looking at right now? What's the other end of your question there?
Jesus, mind. Does the concept of a self solidify consciousness?
If there's clinging or if there's attachment, then yes. But if it's just a concept, then that also can be just liberated. Doesn't have to attach to anything. This is done in the Hindu tradition. This is done in a different way where they actually think of a higher self, a supreme Atman. We're not particularly doing that as students of the Buddha's Dharma. We aren't doing anything for the self. Or is there doing something there?
Tishin. What makes consciousness attaching itself mostly to negativity? What I mean is choosing everything which is in disagreement with what is. Bowing.
Probably just, I don't know what answer you're kind of looking for there, but it's just fear. Fear of the open, fear of not knowing, fear of just an open dimension, wanting to fill it in. Like Michelle saying, I don't know. I'm saying that, don't fill that in with anything. Just have that that openness that's like that. I don't know. More?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Take a final question if there is one. Otherwise, we can just head for the hills.
Navid, Bowing.
Navid.
When you say there is nothing to do, does that also mean there's nothing to cling to, Bowing?
Yes. Yes, nothing to do. There isn't anything separate. That doesn't mean it won't continue to look separate and magnetize you, but you will see that it's, and you might even go to that. You might even go and eat that or indulge in that or something. You might go ahead and do that, but you'll do it at also knowing that it's unreal. So you also, when you see that it's unreal, even though there is a desire, that's when I talk about the 12 links in the chain of existence. I talk about that as a, you don't have to cut through desire. The desire can be there. It's just that when you turn the desire into grasping, that's the difficulty. I think it's I don't know which link it is, but you can look it up. So it's not about getting rid of desire. It's not about getting rid of attachment. You don't have to get rid of anything. You have to see clearly what it is. If you see there's no self and no other, then the self that we thought was there, that consciousness, has everything it wants all the time. It is completely fulfilled. Yeah, thank you so much.
Hi, this is Chiezan, the prior at Sokokoji Buddhist Monastery. Sokozan offers these talks without expecting anything in return. If you value these talks and would like them to continue, please visit our donate page at www.sokukoji.org. Thank you.